Let's go on this morning. We're going to finish our series on the Feast of Tabernacles. And when we approach this, this is the last week of the Feast of Tabernacles tangibly. And as we've approached this series, it is not about legalistically keeping the feast, which there are some who dedicated Christian people who are convinced we are wrong to be worshiping on Sunday, who are convinced we should keep all the feasts, who are convinced that if you don't, you're missing God, you're not on God's timetable. What I prefer to see instead is I want to look Jesus right in the face and see what he is saying. I want to see Jesus. I want to go to the Word of God, see him, know him, hear him, walk with him. And I want to get as close to him as we can. Pastor Sherry's favorite verse, as for me, I get as close to him as I possibly can. How many believe that's the way we're to live? And so as we've approached the feasts of the Lord, we have done so with that thought in mind. But this morning's message is the final wrap party. Anybody ever in plays and dramas in school? All right, the final wrapping, the final play. After that, there came the teardown of the sets, and what did we call it? The wrap party. And these feasts are all about the, especially the three times of year when God called them to come up to meet with him in Jerusalem, because basically the heart of God was, I want to celebrate with my people. And God wants to still celebrate with his people. And we're going to talk about the final wrap party. Now, we talked about Rosh Hashanah, where it all began. We talked last week, indeed, at length about Yom Kippur. And remember what happens on Yom Kippur when the high priest goes into the veil and beyond the veil that separates the holy place and the most holy place. And the Ark of God's presence, representing God, was in this most holy place. And he went in to present the blood. Yom Kippur this year was on October 12th. And you see where you've got the table. Whoops. Good job, Tef. And you've got the you enter this way through repentance, the spiritual application, the altar of burnt offerings. Who was the final sacrifice? That's right. He laid his life down as the Lamb of God who took your sins and mine. And then we move forward. What do they say in the book of Acts? How do we get saved? Repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Ghost. And this is where the water baptism is a perspective shown in the Old Testament, revealed in the New, and the laver, the washing of the priesthood. And then the room of the Spirit, the holy place. And in there you have the table of showbread representing communion, the golden lampstand with the light and the oil of anointing, and the altar of incense, which in your Bible, in mine, declares the incense, the prayers, and the worship of the saints. And once a year on Yom Kippur, this veil was entered by the high priest, or passed through by the high priest, to go offer the blood and sprinkle the blood before the ark as he represented the peace of the presence of the people to God. How many are thankful that Jesus was the final sacrifice, and when he died and cried out, "It is finished," how many remember what happened? The veil was rent. The veil was torn in two. The priest is in the most holy place ministering, and the sacrifice of Jesus takes place. And this veil, we talked about it last week, you can listen to it online, but is an incredibly thick, huge thing. And the statement in the early historians was that it took about 300 priests to manipulate this veil. But it was torn from top to the bottom. God is the one who tore this because he was opening the way for you and me to live 24/7 in his presence. Anybody glad? Thank God we don't have to go through all of the works in order to find Jesus. Now we get to celebrate the freedom that we have. And so now we go on to the rest of the feasts. You have Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, if you will. You have the Yom Kippur. And then you have the Feast of Tabernacles, the ingathering, or Feast of Booths. That actually began October 17 and 18 this year. This is the final celebration of the year. They had their fruit gathering. Their final harvest of the year came in. They thanked God for the provision of rain and for the provision of fruit. And it was a celebration before the Lord. The final day of the feast is what? That's tomorrow. October 24th is the final day, the final wrap-up. And what was this all about? Leviticus 23, 40 through 42. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. You shall what? You shall what? Rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. Now, the word booths in the scripture, in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, is the word sukkah. Can you say sukkah? All right. It literally means a hut, as of entwined boughs or a lair, booth, cottage, covert, den, pavilion, or tabernacle. They were to make booths, and they were to live in them for 7 days, and they were to rejoice for God's provision. And the other element that took place was they were to remember how the Lord caused them to dwell in booths when he brought them out of Egypt. This is called the Feast of Sukkot as well. And when the Israelites entered into the Promised Land out of being in Egypt for how many years? 430 years. Anyway, their first place they came to was the village of Sukkoth. And it's based on that kind of word where they found provision. But they were remembering how God caused them to dwell in booths during their wanderings in the wilderness. Can I ask you a question? Is anybody in this room grateful for how the Lord has brought you through troubles in your life? Come on. Come on. Anybody in this room ever had trouble? My friend, you got trouble. Trouble. Trouble right here in River City. That starts with T and that runs with... Anyway. But trouble comes to each of our lives. And God is the one who, by His grace, sees us through. Right, Jeannie? He sees us through. He's good. He's great. And we're here this morning to say, thank God He's seen us through. And that's what they're to remember. So they're out there, and I've got a couple of pictures to show you what these booths look like. And they're supposed to, it could have 3 sides, it could have 4 sides, and it's supposed to have boughs of cedar and other kind of vegetative growth on the top. And they were supposed to be able to see through to the stars because they were remembering how God saw them through the desert wanderings and kept them. Remember, their shoes didn't wear out? That'd be hard for you ladies who love new shoes. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothing didn't wear out for how long? Anybody remember? 40 years. How many are still wearing same shoes from 40? No. Anyway, God protected them. And God provided for them. Can you say God protects me? And God provides for me? That's what this is all about. And so you have these kinds of booths. Nowadays, it is still held as a celebration. And you can see that they keep their hut. And they, you know, we who have Christmas decorations can relate and understand. We box them back up, put them away in the attic. You box these things up, pull them around when the celebration comes again. And they have certain fruit that they would drape from the top or still drape from the top. Here's another one. And they set up and they have a party. They have a celebration. This is a fantastic time for them. And here's another picture where a family is out celebrating. You can see the boughs over the top and they've got a table full of good provision and they're having a good time as a family. And we should have a good time as a family every time we come together on Sunday mornings because God's done so many great things. Someone say amen. Turn to each other, poke each other, say, God's done greater things for me than you, I'll bet. All right, don't hit each other. But He's done great things for us. There's a reason to rejoice. And so what I want us to see as we complete this series this morning is we're not just learning historically about the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Ingathering, but there's a perspective here. We are God's family. And what takes place at the Feast of Tabernacles? What does He want to do through the church? And how does the church represent Him on this earth today? Look at the scripture. Let them make me a sanctuary, the Lord says. That I may dwell, shakan is the Hebrew. I want to lodge, I want to reside permanently among them. How many thank God Jesus wants to reside permanently with His people? Man, oh man, he doesn't want to just come temporarily. He comes in our hearts. He's there by faith, and he's there 24/7, thank God. Revelation 21:3, it's even in the end of the book. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold the what? You know what that word is? Booth. The tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell. Watch. Skinu. He makes his tent. He encamps. He occupies as a mansion. He wants to reside with them. You see? Three times a year, come up to Jerusalem. Every day for us Christians, come and celebrate me. Be with me. I reside with you. I am yours. The veil was torn in two. God says, I'm coming out. You can't hold me behind the curtain anymore. There's no more barrier. Jesus took the sin, the punishment, and now I get to be with my people. God's having a party. Anybody want to attend God's party? That's what church is. Every time we gather together, it's a party in the presence of the Lord. I want to occupy with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. That's why Jesus came. Incredible. And everything Jesus continued to do reminds us of this truth. Let me tell you just about a couple of elements as we complete this series this morning. Anybody ever hear of the water libation ceremony? It was said in the early historical days. This was celebrated at the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was said by some of the early historians, if you have never been to the water libation ceremony, you don't know what joy is. You've never celebrated a day in your life. Because it was such an incredible celebration. Now, we have already talked about the 75-foot tall candelabras. Remember? There were 75-foot tall candelabras full of oil. They would set these on fire, and it was absolutely powerful. You could see the light for 30 to 40 miles. And they were called, and the Jews were considered, their city was considered by them the light of the world. And so these lights are burning bright in the night, and Jesus stands up with those lights burning, 75-foot tall candelabras, and he stands up and he says, talk about an object lesson, I am the light of the world. That's exactly the context. And so all around you have the people celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles going, excuse me? You think they saw a new point? Jesus is saying clearly to them, I am the Messiah. The water libation ceremony was another stage of what they did. The high priest would go to the water gate, to the pool of Siloam, which had living water. An assistant had a silver pitcher of wine. At dawn, the priesthood would sing as they went to Siloam at the foot of the walls of Jerusalem. By the way, there was a historical perspective of the Pool of Siloam and where it was. In 2005, they uncovered far more of it than they ever had before. And we're seeing the benefit of some of those pictures. How many remember what happened at the Pool of Siloam? Jesus told a man to go what? Wash his eyes. Go down to the Pool of Siloam. And there were other healings that took place here at the place of living water. And a priest would have a pitcher. And he would go and hand it to the high priest, who would fill it with water. You had a silver vase with wine. You had a golden vase with water. And this was the same place, by the way, where the water would come up. Remember, Hezekiah bored a tunnel underneath the city so the city wouldn't run out of water. And it was at this same place. Water is essential. Let's say it again, if you're listening. Water is essential to life. Living water is essential to your spiritual life. How many know we need the living water of the Holy Spirit involved in our lives? If it's not for that living water, we dry up, we're barren, we're just like dry toast. How many like toast after it's been down, it popped up an hour ago? How many want to eat that toast? Life's like burnt toast and dry toast if you don't have the living water. All right, so they got the living water, and it was all about this kind of a celebration. And that's for generations what they celebrated, the living water. And they would take the water, and they would take the wine, and pour it out into an opening which would eventually flow down through the Kidron Valley. And the priest would call on the Lord to provide heavenly water in the form of rain during the next year. And everybody at the Feast of Tabernacles understood this was representing the Holy Spirit which would come with the Messiah. You want to see what Jesus did at this same time at the Feast of Tabernacles? Anybody care? Come back next week. Let's see what Jesus did. Same time. Watch this. Same time on the last day, that great day of the feast. They've had the ceremony. Jesus stands up and cries out, "If anybody thirsts," another great object lesson, don't you think? "If anybody thirsts, let him come to" who?
Me.
"And drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of..." Come on, church. Rivers of... So if you're feeling a little dry, it's time to get back into the presence of the Lord and allow that prayer and that spirit to flow in your life, because he's put living waters inside of you. Now turn to each other and say, "You look wet." Wet with the living water. And they knew what Jesus meant. You see, we look back on our gospel and we love it. We love the story. "I'm the light of the world and I'm the living water." We love it. It's great. But doesn't it mean more when you see the context? It's so rich. Now, there are other living truths that come. Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews who celebrated, they were to be, it was called, the Feast of the Book. The Feast of the Book. And every 7 years, they would take from the ark the word of God that was put there, and they would read it, especially every 7 years. You read your Old Testament, you read Ezra and Nehemiah. Do you remember they read the Bible? It was the Feast of Tabernacles. They read the word that was in the ark, and everybody stood for a quarter of the day as they read the word of God. Do you remember that section? All right, from now on, when I read a verse, I want you to stand. Okay, all right, no. I won't, but the point was the respect they had for the Word of God. How many know that when we celebrate the feast of God's presence as we gather every week together, every gathering, we are to be celebrating the feast of the book? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of different people who say a lot of different things about what you should do in your church service. You should just worship all day long and just forget this preaching business and just worship. I understand that heart. I love worship. I love singing. I love rejoicing. But my commitment to you as the pastor is to say, no, we will not have a gathering together where we will not at least open the book and see something from the Word of God that strengthens and nourishes our souls, so we go out built up in the presence of God and in the Word of God. Every time we gather, someone say, oh, no, or amen.
Amen.
The Feast of the Book. That's what they were. As every 7 years, they taught, and you'll see in your Old Testament about this, the doctrine falls like dew. The people come up to the mountain of the Lord, and it says in the scripture, he will teach us of his ways. The word of the Lord, the Torah, the word, the Bible, the scripture, flows like a river, and he teaches us of his ways. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. And the Feast of Tabernacles, as we gather every Sunday, every time we gather, is to be the feast in the Word of God. How about the Feast of the Nations? The Feast of the Nations. Israel was called by God to be the example on earth of a divine relationship with God. How many know they didn't exactly accomplish that? How many know that's what we're to be? That got real quiet. Three of you said, yep. So we have some more growing to do, some more conforming of our lives to the life of Jesus. But We're to be that representation of God on earth to the nations. Now watch this, watch this. Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, he says to Israel. I will curse him who curses you. I believe this still is an impact, of impact. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Watch Deuteronomy 28:10. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. Are you called by the name of the Lord today? All the peoples of the earth shall see that, and they shall be afraid of you. How many people have ever experienced, you walk into somebody's presence and you start a conversation, and if you bring up the Lord, it can get hostile or icy very quickly. That's not always because they're rejecting you, but because of conviction as the Holy Spirit moves through you. Just keep loving. Just keep loving them. But some people do get hostile because they don't like that sense of the presence of the Lord, and there's a fear. They don't understand that. How can you stand at peace when things are difficult? They don't understand that, but they do see it. Isaiah 56, verse 7. Say it with me, please. My house shall be called a house of prayer. What does it say? For all nations. I want you to remember Jesus being upset when the house of God, Herod's temple, in the court of the Gentiles, was overturned by Jesus. The money tables and the money changers' tables were overturned. And you remember what he said? My house is to be a house of prayer. And the literal thing that was happening at these feast times, where they were, Jerusalem was overrun. 250,000 people, some say a million people or more. 250,000 lambs were slaughtered. And in the court of the Gentiles, there was the exchange of money because you had to buy your lamb. And lots of times when there was graft and greed in the priesthood there, they wouldn't let you use your money to buy their lambs. They wouldn't let you use your lamb. So there was changing of money and there was purchasing of lambs. And there was all of this to take place so you could go do your sacrifice. And their money was exchanged like 8 times true value, and it was a horrible thing. So this is it was like everybody was knocking each over, and it was just packed, and you couldn't move anywhere. And Jesus comes along and says, wait a minute, the house of God is to be a house of prayer for all nations. Here at this church, anybody is welcome. Nobody is welcome to take over the service and turn it into an agenda-driven purpose that may not be the gospel purpose of the Lord. But everybody is welcome. Everybody is welcome to hear the gospel, the good news, to have prayer, and to understand that God loves them. Everybody's welcome. The Feast of the Nations. Let me tell you a couple more things, and then we'll shortly come to a close tomorrow. One of the major themes of the Feast of Booths was the redemption of the world that was played out. In those days, the number 70 represented all the nations. They would call it 70 nations of the earth. Now, we know there are more nations than that, but they called it 70 nations of the earth. And the Talmud explained that they sacrificed 70 bulls on the altar during the 7 days of the feast. 70 bulls for 7 days of the feast on behalf of all the nations of the world. Prophetically, the priest and the feast represented the final ingathering of all people and all nations who would surrender to him to come and worship to the Lord. My house is a house of prayer for all nations. Are you ready? I will tell you something that I'm holding on to in my heart. I'm believing God for a fantastic revival yet to come. I do not believe our worst days are ahead of us. I believe that God is on the throne and that he is going to move in a fantastic outpouring like you and I have never seen. Now, some people in this room have been through great times of revival. I've seen it with my own eyes. fruit fallen from the trees, just fallen, people jumping into your arms almost to lead me to Jesus, lead me to the Lord, and everybody in sight being baptized in the Holy Spirit, no strife, no struggle, no effort. I've seen miracles and have received them. I've seen them right in front of my eyes. I've watched legs lengthened. I've had that happen to my own as my back was healed, and I've watched people healed right and left. How many know we need a fresh move of God on this earth? I want to see God move. I want to see God reproving Himself that He is alive and well and He knows exactly what to do to touch the heart of every man and woman and child. And that's what was being portrayed in the Feast of Tabernacles. God's house. Watch. A place of outpouring. God's house. The place of God's outpouring. Watch. Zechariah 14:8-9. In that day, living waters shall flow from Jerusalem. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And it shall come to pass, Zechariah said, that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Watch! And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be what? How do you think it's important to be in God's house? Come on, say louder than that. How many think it's important to be in God's house? How many want fresh rain from the presence of the Lord? Can God meet anybody, whether they're in church? Oh, sure. Sure He can. But how many know, you read through the book, the house of God, Jesus is going, He says, I'm going to build my house. And it's important. You go to Hebrews, it says, don't deny the gathering together of the saints. So much more as you see the day approaching. And we want to be standing with arms upraised and the Spirit of God being poured out and people being healed and delivered and set free and forgiven and people leaving this place with a smile on their face going, man, I met with Jesus today. Is that what you want? That's what I want. Living water. The fresh rain of the Spirit of God. Ezekiel 47:1, then He brought me back to the door of the temple. Watch. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. Then He said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, enters the sea. Watch. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. The sea representing the world. All the waters Jesus wants to pour out. It shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There'll be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed. Everything will live wherever the rivers go. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their food, their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They'll bear fruit every month because, say it with me, what's that phrase say? Their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, their leaves for medicine. God's river of fresh life-giving water comes through His house, through you and me. How many know it's a parched and dry place when you're not saved, when you have not given your life to Jesus? How many know there are multitudes who need to yet come to Jesus? How many know we got a big job to do, church? Let me just ask you a question. When you go to a jewelry store and you want to buy a diamond ring or something like that, when they bring you the diamonds to look at, do they just throw them out on the glass counter? What's it set on? What's the diamond set on? Nice, dark, velvet cloth. And special lights shine. You know why? Make it brilliant, make it glisten, show it off. You know something? Jesus shines a lot better through you and me when the times are dark and times are tough and we're reflecting and radiating the presence of Jesus. Come on, someone say amen. Jesus, His light shines brightest in the darkest times. God is so good. Watch. Watch. Go to the end of the book. Revelation 7. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in the temple. He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Literally means will erect a booth over them, literally is what that means, in his presence. They shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun will not strike them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to, please say it with me, living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. God wants to tabernacle with us. He set up his booth over us. How are you this morning? Do you in your secret time have times of tears where you need to remember the Lord sets his booth up over you and loves you so deeply? Are you in a time where maybe the waters don't seem as deep? Remember, there's one set of scripture we sing the song sometimes about waters to, they come to my ankles, they come to my knees. Oh no, it's waters to swim in. He wants us to swim, to enjoy the richness of living waters in his presence. Don't sit alone at home, lonely, full of discouragement, when you could come and be with people who want to help you get closer to Jesus. He loves you so. Maybe you're home alone and you're discouraged sometimes, and all you need to do is pick up a call and you say to your friend who's a fellow believer, would you splash a little of your water on me? God wants to tabernacle with us. He set up his booth over us. See, the dress rehearsal. All those feasts, dress rehearsals. That's what the Hebrew means. Now, the final wrap party. It's all fulfilled in Jesus. Come on. It's all fulfilled in Jesus. Say it with me. It's all fulfilled in Jesus. So what do we get to do now? Celebrate. Celebrate in him. Would you stand with me, please? Stand with me, and musicians, will you come? If you're here this morning and you've not given your life to the Lord, I want you to know how much he loves you. I pray you do know that, and that you can grasp and receive that grace. If you've not given your life to the Lord, let this day be your day. Jesus says to surrender to him. What does it take? Lord, I understand that you're the Savior, that I'm a lost sinner. Come into my heart. Save me, forgive me of my sins. I surrender and give my life to you. Live in my heart and take over my life. And he promises that's what he'll do. If you're here this morning and you need healing in your body, the Lord is here to touch and heal you. The living waters are here. If you need a fresh release in the Holy Spirit, there'll be people here to pray for you. You're loved. Church, you're loved. Now it's time that we can celebrate. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Let's sing that song again as we come to a close this morning. As you go out from here today, I want you to go out in full celebration mode. What's that mode? Full celebration mode. Okay, three of you got it. Right. Go out with joy and rejoicing because he loves you so much. Father, we thank you that you are so good. You've got our best in mind. Thank you, Lord, that even all these generations ago when you started the feasts, you did so with the reason to celebrate with your people. And Lord, together today, we thank you for the spiritual fulfillment of these feasts that show us a God who is so involved with us, a God who loves us, a God who wants us to celebrate with him. And by faith, by grace this day, we receive you and thank you for your goodness. And they all said, amen. Raise your hands for the blessing if you would, please. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And one more, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Be blessed in Jesus' name as you go forward. God bless you. Be released.